Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm stepping into this role with a clear vision, and that vision is to be the highest performing organization in all sports. I want to help build something that becomes the envy of all of sports, right? Where we get, you know, X amount of months and years down the line, and people are looking at this organization like, shoot, I want to be part of that organization.
Paul Toboni is your new Pobo, the president baseball ops for the Washington Nationals, rose to the top of a front office as a 35-year-old father of four, went to Cal, played baseball. Toboni, who has held just about every role you can in player development and scouting with the Boston Red Sox, went from a intern to running major departments for Boston through four regime changes, basically over a decade. He is a rising star, and now he is running the Nats. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, brought to you by the law firm Cundori & Murad.
We love those guys. They can do a lot of things for you. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transaction, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Barry Sferluga of the Washington Post. We'll get his thoughts on the Commanders and the Chargers and Jaden Daniels' return before we get out of here with Barry at the end of the segment. But I want to start with the big day over at Nats Park. I know you're writing that today and you were over there as Toboni was introduced. So we'll get to him. I think the bigger story, though, was ownership. You've written a lot about them here recently and where we're at with the Lerners owning this ball club. This was the first time in years that they have been on the stage taking questions, and Lerner assured the media and the fans that he has given Toboni the resources needed, that he's going to give him the resources to win. Also talked about guaranteeing that the Nats will get back being a championship-level program. What did you make of that part of the presser?
I think it was a missed opportunity. I think Paul Toboni was the fourth most important person on a four-person dais, and I think that more questions should have gone to ownership than to Paul Toboni, who's a guy who we're going to get to know and was really impressive right off the bat. And I'm so happy that the Lerners did an actual search that – you know, talk to people with experience in the job running teams before and up-and-comers like Toboni, and interviewed their own internal candidate, Mike DiBartolo. Like, that's what the moment called for. But I think there's a lot of questions about ownership. That's definitely questions that Toboni or any candidate had to have. And he said right off the bat, look, my wife and I, we're going to be really choosy about where we move, what our next step with. We didn't have to leave the Red Sox. I was in a good position there. And when I got to the start of this interview process, ownership was a great unknown. Now, they obviously said and did things to make him comfortable enough to take the job, a job that, you know, he seems like a guy who would have had other opportunities in years to come. But I really think that drilling down on ownership's commitment, an ownership group that has put the team on the market, taken it off the market, not spent. I mean, they were from 2013 to 2019, never lower than 12th in payroll, high as number three since 2021, have never been higher than 20. Like, there were more questions for ownership, and I think they were kind of left on the table.
Yeah, and a lot of what even had them that high were guys that weren't playing for them anymore, Barry, kind of to your point. It's like, I remember Rizzo saying for so many years, and you got to know him really well as well, that, you know, I've got everything I need from ownership, when we all sort of knew that wasn't true. So I don't know what assurances or support of the ownership, I don't know what that means. I guess, when will we know that it really is different and not just kind of a honeymoon period in terms of the ownership's involvement?
Yeah, I think, Danny, that part of the reason to, and the benefit of going around and doing a real search with executives from other organizations is you learn a little bit about other organizations and what they prioritize and what they spend and what they think their executives think is important. I mean, Josh Burns is a longtime baseball executive who ran the Diamondbacks, who ran the Padres, who's been an important part of the Dodgers juggernaut for a decade. He didn't get the job, but you can't tell me that the learners and Cohen's and Tannenbaum's didn't learn something from him in the process about, like, how do the Dodgers go about things? Because they win games, and obviously a lot of that is financial might, but it's not all financial might. Like, they draft really well. They develop really well. Not all their prospects come up to benefit their major league team because they're used in trades that get major league talent. So I really, really think that I hope, and I think Paul Toboni would not be here if this wasn't the case, that a baseline investment from ownership here is forget the major league payroll. What do I need? What resources do I need to update this front office in personnel, in technology, and in innovation to make it a modern front office? This is a guy who, he'll tell you, you know, hey, I was an area scout for a year and I really respect scouting. But he also spent some of that time going to the pitching labs like Driveline that are so important in developing prospects and maximizing velocity and all the stuff that is important, measurable stuff that you in which you grade prospects. Like, he knows that stuff. He relies on that stuff. And he needs to be able to go to ownership and say, I know what the tools are. You need to provide me with the tools. I have to believe he wouldn't be sitting in that chair today unless they had said, yeah, we'll take care of your front office.
Barry Sferluga, Washington Post. His column on the day will drop, I'm sure, online tonight and will be available for you in the paper tomorrow. Barry, I view today and Toboni's very existence as something of a departure. Now, long-winded here, so forgive me, but that doesn't mean that everything will be different, right? They could do this, and the Wolves have been at the doors, and it kind of gets us to go away, and then they go back to the same old one, stuff we don't see. But for many, many years, they just kind of ran Rizzo back out there with Davey, and they ran this thing back throughout this rebuild. I feel like getting the hot shot and spending the big money to bring in a guy like this and empowering him, this does feel like a departure, does it not?
So, Grant, I wrote in my piece already, which I think just probably published within the last hour, that in some ways it feels like the franchise grew up today. Now, we don't know that all the promises that the Lerner seem to have made to Toboni will bear fruit. And Mark Lerner, actually, in his answer to me, said something very similar that he said to me in spring training, is like, when he said at that point about free agent spending, when Mike thinks it's the time, we'll sit down and talk about it. You can read the quote. He said something very, very similar to me about that or today. But I do think that if you listen to how Paul Toboni addressed his priorities, it is like all the stuff that somebody, a 35-year-old who's only grown up in the game knowing it a certain way, which is not how it used to be done, but which is how it's done now with, like, measurables. And he's, like he said, do we want pitchers to throw hard? Yes, we want pitchers to throw hard. Do we want hitters that have excellent exit velocity? We do. He did provide a more nuanced, like, that's not all we're doing, but at least they're doing that. Like, I really feel like, you know, I mean, I had known Mike Rizzo for 20 years and loved covering him, and they had an amazing run from 2012 to 2019. But I also spent time as the national baseball writer going around and talking to other front offices and learning about how they operate. And it just was a stark difference. It doesn't necessarily mean one is right and one is wrong. I think you can guess which way I'm leaning. But I think the franchise kind of grew up and stepped into modern times today because they have a head of baseball operations who is going to employ all the tools at his disposal, even if he's not just like, oh, people don't matter, it's just numbers. He's going to be very, very, very up to date.
Barry Svrluga with us here on Grant and Danny. So, Barry, you're more plugged in than I am, and that's a dubious honor, but still, you are. But even what I'd heard over the years, it's this ownership by committee. So we saw more than just Mark Lerner up there. It was a couple of the brother-in-laws, but there's still, you know, another six, seven, eight, whatever faces behind the scenes where people couldn't get answers on anything, whether it was baseball related, whether it was what price to charge for the barbecue at the Rockland stand. Like, nobody could get anything, and then all of a sudden they send an email to the wrong department at 2 a.m. and then everybody's scurrying and nobody knows what to do. How does that get cleaned up with or without Paul Toboni? You know what I mean? Like, is there a signal change in that regard where maybe it's more of a one unified voice that it is Lerner and Tenenbaum and then Ed Cohen and company? Like, how does that work?
So we wrote about this a couple of weeks ago now.
People should read it, by the way. That story is excellent.
It's a little bit of trying to dig in on how they make decisions. And the reality is that making decisions there is both opaque and herding cats. Like, only the Lerners are in those meetings where the big decisions are made. And that Lerner group not only includes Mark and his two brother-in-laws, Ed Cohen and Bob Tenenbaum, but it can include his two sisters, and now increasingly, and in this process, included the next generation of Lerners, particularly not the Tenenbaum kids, but the Cohen and Lerner kids. So you're breaking into the third generation who were involved in this interview process. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. It's just a lot of people in the room, and it makes it very, very difficult to come to consensus, which had always been what Ted Lerner was best at. He was like the Tip O'Neill of their family. Like, we're going to have unity, and I don't care how we get there, but this is, you know, I want it to be 100-0 vote. And he was able to do that because just the force of personality and the respect everybody had to him. It's been more difficult since his death. Mark is not the same kind of, you know, guiding leading force that his father was. So it's a very weird ownership structure. I will say that I learned over there today, and I suspected this, but learned today that they are going to hire a president of business operations. So it will be an equal position to Toboni on the business side of things. And that should help provide a little bit of a guiding light on that side of the operation, where they had this guy, Alan Gottlieb, a longtime Lerner Enterprises executive who's extremely close with the family and very, very in on the inner workings. He was the person that department heads had to get stuff cleared by. The problem was he works at Nationals Park once a week. So it just was not, you couldn't get answers from him on a consistent basis. I think we had a quote in the story that said, you know, I could ask Alan about something, but I might hear back in 5 days, 5 weeks, or 5 months. It wasn't necessarily his fault, but he didn't always have the ear of ownership to focus on baseball. So it's a really long-winded way of saying it's been kind of chaotic and a little bit depressing for people who work there because it just doesn't seem normal. It today may have represented a step toward normalcy, certainly on the baseball side. But once they get a president of business operations in there, maybe it looks more like a franchise that we'd see in the other 29 major league markets.
All right. So then two on more of the baseball, less ownership stuff here with Toboni. One, he was noncommittal, at least on stage and certainly with the junkies on our radio station, about the possibility of hiring a GM. He said it was TBD. He said, I may do it, I may not. That goes against some of the national reporting that we'd heard that he would be hiring a general manager. So what do you make of that, number one, and how does DeBartolo fit in there? But then also, number two, the question about, like, retool, rebuild. You know, Lerner was very pointed in saying he thinks they have a lot of talent. And I mean, he could have easily said, look, whatever he wants to do, this is in his vision. How long do you think this could take? Are we talking about him coming in here and shopping Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams and kind of detonating even further to rebuild from the foundation? Or do you think they try to actually compete in a league where the damn Reds, as a 500 team, just made the wild card?
Well, take the second part first. I think that's it's hard to gauge, because I think he really needs to dig in on, you know, he's able to sit up there and say, like, okay, James Wood, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, Dylan Cruz, like, I can see some exciting young players here. Does he know the ins and outs of Harlan Susanna's arm problems and what's Travis Soroka? And like, I'm not 100% sure he's there yet. I think there's a world that the executive who steps in this off season, who ends up being Paul Toboni, looks at Mackenzie Gore's resume, looks at Mackenzie Gore's agent, Scott Boras, looks at Mackenzie Gore being like, I've never won here. Why do I think I'm going to win here? And is like, I need to flip this dude. Like, that is, it could be a very good baseball decision, but I think it's really very much TBD on that evaluation. I do think that he will be able to get from the people still on staff an honest assessment of, look, this is what we've got. And I don't know, because Rizzo had been there for so long and so many of his deputies had been there for so long, and I think he oversold in the spring, going back to February, like, look, we want to play meaningful games in September. Like, he over-evaluated what he had on hand. In terms of the structure of the front office, like, I don't know this. I did write that I suspect that because Toboni, I think, was honest about the assessments he got about Mike DiBartolo from outside as soon as he got the job, that he got 10 texts saying this guy is awesome. And also, because DiBartolo is a good soldier, a thoughtful executive, a smart person who I think will be a lot more in line with what Toboni wants to execute, I'm just guessing. I'd just be surprised that, you know, if a month from now, Paul Toboni isn't putting out a statement saying we hired Mike DiBartolo as our general manager. And I think that can be, this could be a perfect way to structure this with, like, really new blood and new energy and new thinking from outside, with an internal hire who knew that new thinking needed to be implemented, but also knows where all the bodies are buried and can navigate the franchise a little bit. Like, he could be a major asset to Boney going forward.
Barry, well, I got you seeking a quick football one this weekend. 2-2 after a tough one in Atlanta, where the defense had looked particularly good. But Jaden Daniels on his way back, heading to L.A. Just kind of your thoughts on this weekend.
I just think we forget that, like, okay, they killed the Raiders with Mariota, and, you thought, like, the roster's in good shape. Obviously, more injuries since then. But, like, Jaden's supposed to be the elixir in this whole thing. Like, he's supposed to be the wild card. And I know he wasn't great in weeks one and week two, and part of week two might have been a combination of the Packers' defense playing really well and him being a little bit dinged up. But, like, I don't think we should lose sight of the idea that, like, Jaden Daniels is supposed to be the savior. Like, could they lose to the Chargers on Sunday in L.A.? They absolutely could. But, like, I think we have to fall back on the idea that, like, a Commanders team with Jaden Daniels in the lineup is positioned to win any game that they take the field. So I'm just curious to see how he operates, how he moves. Seems like without McLaurin, which is a huge deal. But he's the X factor, man. And I just don't think we should lose sight of that.
Well said. Barry Sforluga, check out his work in the Post. The story is available now on the day's activities out at Nats Park. Great as always, Barry. Thank you.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
You got it. There he is, Barry Sforluga, over there covering the press conference today. I just saw the game preview picks that dropped on NFL Media with a bunch of their writers and stuff. You might be surprised how the predictions are skewing this weekend out in L.A. We will get to that next, plus our NFL power rankings going into Week 5 on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And then do you expect to play Sunday?
I guess we'll have to see you Sunday.
Jaden Daniels, will see you Sunday in L.A. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. So looking at the game preview picks from the NFL media crew, they have 10 people that pick all the games. So the graphic comes out each week. And of those 10 predictions, 9 are on the Chargers to beat the Commanders this weekend, which I find crazy lopsided and weird. Like, even as completely impartial, take any kind of bias out of this thing, whatever. That seems insane. This is a pick-em-ish type game. I mean, what's the spread right now? 3.5 at most?
Let me double-check that for you. I should have to scan down more. 2.5.
2.5 points?
Mm-hmm.
That's close to a pick-em. That's not a 90% of people should pick the same team thing.
Well, you know what happened? The same way that everybody picked Washington at Atlanta, because Atlanta looked terrible losing to Carolina, and Washington looked awesome beating the Raiders.
But respectfully to my guy Danny Hutier, 30-0, not showing up, not being an NFL outfit, getting blanked, a little bit different than losing with your backup quarterback 34-27 on the road.
You and I know that. I'm just saying that's what happened.
By the way, did the Chargers lose their right tackle? Are the Chargers the worst offensive line in the league coming into this weekend, right now, this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Did they lose to the Giants? We're talking about last week, aren't
we? Sure they did.
Are we talking about last week?
Talking about last week.
We're talking about practice.
Last week.
They just lost to the damn Giants.
But the assumption is, I'm trying to defend why it's not 9 out of 10.
You're playing devil's advocate. Yeah. I appreciate it. But I'm arguing, I'm shooting the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm doing.
You holster that. The point of the dude's story is, this, if we establish that the Chargers are good in the minds of pundits and people making picks, I think they're good still. That's the fluke. And now watch out, because are they really losing 2 straight? Are they losing a second game in a row at home? Is Jim Harbaugh and the boys that can now sling it with anybody and this defense is awesome? Are they really losing a second straight game to a banged up Washington team that looked so pedestrian last week? I think that's the thought.
It's definitely the argument. By the way, Jim Harbaugh, as much as over the years I have take an issue with him at times, I find him to be somewhat unlikable and he's just kind of a super quirky guy.
Yep.
I have come around on him more and more over time. I think it's all the winning that he
does.
It's
the winning.
Somebody used a line when writing a feature story about him once that I use constantly, which is that he is a hurricane of a human being. And the bit they did was, every time he leaves a facility, there's wreckage everywhere. Like, when you're in San Francisco from 11 to 14, you get him to a Super Bowl. But when you leave, a lot of people hate each other. And, you know, there's just, like, desks are overturned. And someone's coming in there and inheriting a bit of a mess. Michigan.
Yeah, you leave a college program. You got a sign-stealing investigation, a little bit of probation, and a disaster.
You got a
yeah.
coach serving a suspension on your behalf or whatever it is. Like, mm-hmm. it's just bad, right? But everywhere this guy has gone. I mean, everywhere from... He played, people that are my age will barely remember this, or if you're a little younger, if you're Ryan or Tobes or something, you don't remember number four for the Indianapolis Colts and whoever else. I think he was the Bears first and probably the team that most people remember him for. For me, it was just the Colts in like 96, 97. He ended up in Baltimore and bounced around Chargers, Lions, Panthers for the end of his career. But he goes, he becomes an offensive consultant at Kentucky, Western Kentucky, I think. But then Raiders quarterbacks coach, 02-03. Does a really good job for a team that was like a Super Bowl-ish team with Rich Gannon. Then he goes on to San Diego collegiately. They win there. They'd never won there. Then he goes to Stanford. Stanford was never supposed to become
Mm-mm.
a football juggernaut. He gets Andrew Luck. They're a powerhouse. Then he goes to San Francisco with the Niners, and he turns them into a Super Bowl-caliber team. They got to a Super Bowl, and if not for the lights going out in New Orleans the year Beyonce performed, I still think they win that Super Bowl over the Ravens. Then he goes to Michigan. Do you remember what a disaster that program was?
Oh, yeah.
Michigan.
Couldn't get out of their own way.
They were a complete mess. He went in there, what was that, 2015, 2016, and he turns them into a buzzsaw. And in the final years, they didn't win a championship every year, but they were right in the mix. They were a playoff team. They're one of the last teams standing. They're beating Ohio State, the arch rival, and they did end up winning their title with he and J.J. McCarthy. Then he rolls out. Now he's with the Chargers. Last year, boom, immediately a playoff team. They start 3-0. They look like they've overtaken the Chiefs in the AFC West. They did stub their toe this week, so we're going to find out, is this kind of the same old Chargers? And some of this, I think, is they're a victim of the injuries, specifically on their offensive line. But I guess my point is, as much as I think he's like quirky and strange, small part of me as I get older admires that a little bit, that you kind of do things your own way. He's mostly very respectful, it seems like. I've seen videos of people going up to him in the airport and talking to him, and he's like a very, very nice guy, it seems like. That dude wins everywhere.
Everywhere he's been.
All he does is get you to the playoffs. Are you into that? That's what he's going to do. Now, you'll hate his guts, and he'll hate you probably if you're a GM by the end. So there's something to my theory about him.
Yeah, there's a famous story where, like, it is a high school state championship game for some sport. He said, I'd like to thank three people, me, myself, and I. Like, he believes
is that a thing?
That's a story that's out there about
that's
him.
That's whack.
Yeah. Like, that's who that dude is, though. Like, the results are there. But you just know that it's going to be, it's like a starburst or like a shooting star. That's the word I'm looking for. Not the delicious candies. It's like a shooting star where it's going to be beautiful and awesome and fun. And at the end, you just sort of leave fire in your wake. That's what it is. So like to me, it's like one of those short-term things where if you'd like to win some games and have him be the alpha and the omega, the story all the time is that dude, like at press conferences, breathing heavy, like he just finished sprinting up to the podium in his weird khakis, you know, like hands on his knees during a first quarter running play, just, you know, screaming at an official with all the indignity of a person that's, you know, been hit by a car. Like, I'm telling you, that guy is so much to deal with, but he wins.
This is going to sound like a Joan, and maybe it is a Joan. I don't know. I don't mean to say this like just mean making fun of him, but I'm actually asking the question. He's got a weird glasses thing that goes on, too, I think.
Yeah.
Where he's got like the Milton from Office Space, like really thick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they call those, like Coke bottle glasses or something, but like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Like normal people that wear, when you normally
wear
glasses.
They're not designer glasses.
Like I'm wearing glasses right now. I wear the glasses all the time. I don't pay a lot of money for these. They're like Ray-Bans or just, they help me to see, right?
Yeah.
But you just see my eyes. You just look at the camera on YouTube right now. Just look straight in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
All you just see through my glass.
Yeah.
He's got this thing where it's like microscopes or something. It's like Milton yeah. from Office Space.
And it just wants to keep a stapler.
It's antithetical to, like, I don't know, what a guy wears on the sidelines normally. That's just my observation. That's not important. It's just a random offering on Jim Harbaugh, something that I've noticed. But have you seen that bit?
I totally know what you're talking about, yeah. Like, it is almost like consistent that it be this unorthodox thing.
He's just like somebody, like your neighbor's dad. who has like, he wears khakis all the time with the big glasses. Mm-hmm. And he does not look like a guy that used to play NFL quarterback.
No.
I mean, he's a big guy, but damn if he's not a great head coach. He is, and he's a leader of men. And I don't know what this is. Maybe as someone who played at the collegiate level, like you can better relate to this than me. There is something in sports, in my opinion, that allows us to be, to tap into the cheesiest areas of our being. Okay, so like, have you guys heard the Ben Johnson post-game thing that he yells to the Bears? Where he's like, do your best. And they're like, we'll try our best. And he's like, until your best isn't good enough. Like, look up Ben Johnson post-game speech and see if you can find his, like, shtick he does at the end. But we used to have, I'll give you the better example. Jim Zorn, hip hip hooray. Jim Harbaugh does, like, the who's got it better than us stuff. Or, like, let's all walk around and high-five each other. Like, whatever that cheesy, in any other facet of life, in any other place, where some of we doing, if CK came in here, like team building, and he's like, telling, like, give me your best. And we're like, we'll give you our best. And he's like, until it's not good enough, we'll give you the rest. And we like a swim team chant. It's just not how grown-ups act in any way.
I want you guys to make sure after a good segment, you fist bump each other. Just make sure that you do it every time. It touched somebody.
Like, we're not moving on until you fist bump Danny. Whatever that is, he leads the league in it.
First team,
like,
all
the,
that.
The cheesy, I'm 40, but really I'm acting 10. But it works. Like, there is something about his culture. It works. And this is a thing. It's all over sports. Mm-hmm. This Ben Johnson thing the Bears are doing, they love it. It's like this. It's like a Drew Brees middle of the pile slogan. I don't really get it. But where am I going with this? I guess my point is, there's like a cheesy nature to him that players love.
Because it's
they
authentic.
Feed off of.
Yeah, when it's cheesy and it's just eye rolling, where it's like you're not that way. You know, like I had coaches, for example, that would talk about discipline and talk about all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, we saw you out getting hammered at the bar and reeking of alcohol at the 8 a.m. practice.
The
authenticity. If you are that way and it's not just something you're trying to get guys to do, you know what I mean? Like if you're a goofy cheese ball and then other times you try to be something else, everyone's like, you don't even know why you see through it, but you see through it. There's no off switch with that guy. Like when he's at home alone by himself, he's like, making the greatest omelet that's ever been made. Watch this.
Yeah,
you know, like,
you're right.
I'm gonna stir a little bit of mayo and a little bit of water in this and zap in the microwave. I saw Jose Andres talk about it on a TikTok. Woo! Lunatic.
I think you're right.
He's a lunatic all the time.
I think it's so real. I think the authentic nature of it makes it work. That because he is the guy. Like, everyone has the quirky dude at work.
Yeah.
Like, guy walks down the hall and you're like, hey, Danny, how are you? And you're like, best there's ever been, man. Thank God for Wednesday. Like, his bit that he actually says whenever anyone says hello to him at any point, he says something like, doing great. Trying to attack the day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. Like, that's his response.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, hey, man, I'm good. How are you? And he's dead serious about it.
Yeah. It's not something he's trying to convince you of.
But am I too cynical? Like, I'm the idiot then. When I hear that and I go, man, that's kind of cringy. Like, good for him. He just loves life. He loves football.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the things he cares about.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a huge Catholic, I think. He's like religion, football, family. I think if you're not one of those three things, I don't know if Jim Harbaugh has anything to say to you. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of the list.
I don't begrudge it necessarily. I also know that it would be a lot to deal with. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, it can be both things. It's because I don't have to go through that on the daily.
Yeah.
Right?
This is kind of the thing I'm talking about. This is Ben Johnson. This is how the Bears break down after all their wins the last 2 weeks.
Read on it. Here we go. Good, better, bad. Good, better, bad. Never let it rain. Never let it rain. Good gets better. Good gets better. And you better get better. You better get better. Bears on three. 1, 2, 3. Bears!
Do that in any other workplace, and people are just looking around like, What is this guy saying?
I'm not going to do
but
that.
But watch the video. The Bears are like, let's go, Ben. Like, just slamming their chests, and they're all in for it.
I mean, you remember when old Double R threw a rock and threw his shoulder out at a sign on the wall?
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Guys are losing their minds.
I'm a sucker for a prop. I loved the rock bit. Not big on a whole lot of Rivera things. The rock thing that they did was the most badass cool thing ever.
Basically, everything when Nate is in this room. No, it's not. You need so many more personnel.
He'd pick a player and he'd have him throw the rock at a board after the game. Like, that's awesome. But that kind of stuff, like, I would be that coach. I'm Joe Maddon. I'm bringing in the clown to get everybody loose. I've got someone with a snake.
Pete Carroll, I'm going to have Will Ferrell swing by and
exactly.
do shtick.
We're going to hit the watermelon on a Wednesday for Watermelon Wednesday. Like, Dan Quinn's big on this stuff. So I get that. It's just the slogans and the cheesy catchphrases. I think Jim Harbaugh is in first place, and everyone else
is chasing.
Is completing for second.
Seriously. He's
really
lapping, folks.
He is such a good coach. There's no doubt. All right, Grant and Danny on the fan. Let's get to our NFL power rankings next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye attacking this show with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. Welcome back on 106.7 The Fan. Danny, who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Nobody. Come on, guys. Darius Ryan and Toby, let's do it.
Oh, man.
Ready?
It's so cringe.
No, it's fine.
It's so cringeworthy.
This is how you win 12 games and makes the playoffs.
God.
Hey, Grant and Danny show, who's got it better than you?
Nobody.
Toby, what happened?
Somebody's got better than me. Somebody does.
That's a great bet.
I don't think anybody does.
Somebody
does. It's good to be Toki. What's wrong with Toki?
I think Ryan Taboni has better than me.
Well, that's true. Ryan, we did meet the new president of baseball operations, Ryan Taboni. Do you have that queued up for us, Darius, please?
There.
Do you guys know that? The brand new president of baseball ops for the Nats shares a name with our beloved Ryan Clary.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, Paul. Ryan from 106.7, the fan there.
There. It's the there that gets me.
Great question. Got a great answer. That's mm-hmm. the part of this we need to remember.
That's true. A winding road. Something about bumpy roads, beautiful places. Point is, we got there. There.
That wasn't a bumpy road. That was just one small bump.
It was a bumpy road, guy.
A bumpy road infers many bumps. That was just one bump.
Well, the there is very tough.
There are two bumps in that road, I think. I think you got a plural on the bumps. Ryan in there.
Do you have his question with the answer so people can at least hear that he asked a good question and it got a good answer? If we're going to throw him under the bus, we might as well give him his shine for the question.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, Paul. Ryan from 106.7, the fan there. So looking around baseball, obviously, a lot of teams have identities. Like you look at the Rays, they're a draft and develop organization. Like what do you believe the Nationals kind of, how will people perceive the Washington Nationals under your leadership?
Yeah, so how I think about this is I want to dominate both the big things and the small things, right? So when I think about the big things, like, do we want guys that throw hard? Yeah, we want guys that throw hard, right? Do we want guys that hit the ball hard? Yeah, we want guys that hit the ball hard, right? At the same time, we want to be best in the league at, you know, first to third, right? Or cuts and relays, being really efficient with our footwork, those small things, right? Like I think about the tag play all the time. I look around the big league still and like, guys aren't dropping tags the way they should be, right? And so those small things, right? I think about the contact play at third base, right? Like those type small things, I think we have to dominate. And yeah, we might not be bunting, you know, every inning, right? But when you're called upon to bunt, like you got to get it down, right? And so I think there's, you know, there's, for whatever reason, kind of a narrative that's been built throughout the game. Like you either care about the big things or you care about the small things. And my approach on that is we should dominate both.
Good answer.
Good answer. Good answer.
I was psyched too because Barry's Faluga actually, he dropped that answer in his interview just now with Grant, with both you guys.
Did he? I bet you it's in the column today too.
I was psyched.
Good answer. I thought that was one of his better, like you pull it out answers of the of the whole press
conference.
Get
a nice probing question, right? Yeah. That's how you get a great answer like that.
And you make him comfortable by telling him his name is something different than what his name really is.
You get him off his guard a little bit.
Hey, Paul. Ryan from 106.7, the fan there.
He might have actually unearthed a really good strategy. He might have been very relaxed in the moment to really shoot from the hip because he was so busy cackling up there that now he's just willing to answer anything.
I know. I feel as if
was that strategic? You did it on purpose.
Well, bits aside, I was actually joking with Toby yesterday. I was like, "Hey, I got to do something memorable in the press conference."
Oh, that was thought. But when Toby said that earlier, I dismissed that completely as a bit.
But no, it was a bit last night. But then unfortunately, I did
turn real.
Toby, he actually said that.
Yeah, he manifested it after the fact. When we were walking back, he's like, "I did tell you that last night. I think I accidentally talked myself into doing that today." Yeah, it was. This was talked about yesterday, and unfortunately, it came to light today.
Well, job well done getting over there. And, Ryan Taboni, the new president of baseball operations. All right, really quickly, I want to get our NFL power rankings teed up. You do that right here. We'll give you our 5 through 3 teams. We can come back and round it out here with our top teams in a moment. But give me your number 5 team in the NFL right now.
Give me the Seattle Seahawks at number 5. They're 3-1. They lost their opener to San Francisco. I'm almost throwing out the first week of games, almost like the Russian judge with the weird score. They've got the second-best point differential in the NFC, and they're good.
Yeah, they've won 3 in a row. You mentioned the point differential. I believe they're number 1 in DVOA as a team right now as well overall. So this is a legitimate club at the quarter pole. I actually was debating them at the 5 spot. I took the Indianapolis Colts. Just thinking I could zig where you zag a little bit here. The Colts just lost to the Rams, who are in my top 5. Otherwise, they won 3 games. Everyone's talked about Daniel Jones playing so well, and that's fine. He has. But they also run the ball great. I mean, they still got Jonathan Taylor, peak of his powers. Their defense is awesome. I like the coaching staff. Steichen, former coordinator when the Eagles made a Super Bowl. So the Colts, I think, are for real. I had them edging out the Packers as well as the Seahawks. Wanted to put Green Bay in my top 5, but after a loss and a tie the last 2 weeks, it was just too hard to do that. Who's number 4 for you?
You just mentioned them, the Rams. I think they are ascending. They pretty much had the game won in Philadelphia. Credit to the Eagles. You'll see them ahead here on my board. But the Rams are really good. They're moving Jared Verse around now as part of a, you know, sort of a defensive nightmare. You don't know where he's coming from when it's time to block him. Defensively, they're really good. Matt Stafford, as long as he's healthy, and long as Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams are healthy, and Kyron Williams as well, they've got a great, monstrous offense that's really, really hard to deal with.
I've got the Rams 4 as well, very similar thinking. Number 3, I've got the Philadelphia Eagles. I think a lot of people have them higher. They're 4-0. They won the Super Bowl last year. It's just there's no style points here. Some of the metrics I use, basically the way I'm trying to think about this is, if these teams are playing each other this week, who would I expect to win? And the two teams I have ranked ahead of them in my top 5, I would pick to beat the Eagles this weekend. Philly, has everything that you need to get back to the Super Bowl. And I think they have a really good chance to do that. But they aren't throwing the ball well. Their weapons have been fairly uninvolved in the passing game. Saquon Barkley has not gotten going at all. He's averaging barely 3 yards per carry. And they've won games. They've stolen some games. 33-26 over the Rams, 31-25 Tampa Bay, 2017 Kansas City. Barely beat the Cowboys on opening night, but they got that win too. It's what they do. And they'll somehow beat Denver and the Giants and the Vikings probably and be 7-0 in 3 weeks going into a matchup with the Giants that they're going to win before their bye. But for the moment, right now, I got two teams I like more.
The Detroit Lions, number three for me, and the arrow was trending up. Again, that first week loss where Green Bay looked incredible and they didn't look so good, a distant memory. They've scored 137 points, more than anybody else in the sport. The best point differential in the NFL through 4 weeks. Anything you look at, simple rating system, offensive, basically their version of DVOA, outstanding. They don't miss their coordinators at all, it seems like. They're getting healthier on defense and playing a little bit better on that side of the ball, getting some turnovers. They are really good.
We will give you our top two teams in our NFL power rankings as soon as we return on Grant and Danny. Plus, we'll hit the headlines, taking you up to 6:15 on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.